It's not that they weren't interested. It's that the terrain of scholarly inquiry surrounding theosophy has been one which is fraught in the 20th century. Because generally what we find is that there are two different types of people who are interested in theosophy in the 20th century. Those who are believers in theosophy and the things that theosophy promotes as a kind of life system, a kind of philosophy, some would even call it religion. And those people are very interested in kind of reinforcing their belief structure. On the other side, you have non-theosophists who spend most of their time in trying to evaluate theosophy and its effect and impact in society and culture, kind of punching holes in the truth claims that theosophists make. So the criticizing the belief structure. And what makes this particular grant different is that we, as a group of scholars in institutions, are approaching theosophy without being concerned about its truth claims. Meaning, we're not there to say that what they believe is right or wrong. We're there to understand its theosophy's cultural influence, how it shapes different aspects in the arts, how it influences painters, how it influences music, how it encourages the creation of different kinds of literature. And that has always been the rub, and that's what we're seeking to address, is to kind of move past this impasse between the believers and the critics and find a way in which we can assess what is arguably, and until now, not very well understood influence across Western culture in the late 19th and early 20th century. I wrote my doctoral dissertation. I'm currently writing a book about the British composer Gustav Holst. And Gustav Holst, his stepmother was a theosophist. And he learned about the East, especially Eastern culture, especially Eastern Hindu culture, from his stepmother, and became interested and fascinated enough with this that he composed a lot of music based on Eastern texts, especially Sanskrit texts. And so there is a direct connection between theosophy as a conduit of knowledge about the East to this composer, who then interprets it in music in a certain way. And the way in which he interprets the East is directly related to how it was presented by theosophy. So that's what initially got me started and interested in this. And furthermore, 2 years ago, I was a Leverhulme visiting scholar at Liverpool Hope University for a year. I had taken leave from USU. And there, I became aware of a huge archive of materials, an archive of a composer and a violinist who were deeply involved in the theosophical movement in England, which had just come to light. It had not been gone through or assessed by scholars before. And I was one of the first people to go into that archive and kind of look and see what's there, and that's motivated a lot of my research and provided a lot of the research that I did during that year away when I was in Liverpool.
I know Holst was considered kind of an interesting character, very different, very unique. Is that what part of what intrigued you about theosophy, is how different it was and the people that it attracted?
I kept running across it in my study of Holst, and it kept turning up. And what is obvious is that everyone acknowledges that it was there, but nobody talks about it. So everyone says, of course, Holst was a theosophist, or Holst gained this material from theosophical sources. The same can be said of William Butler Yeats. The same can be said of Arnold Schoenberg, the composer. The same can be said of so many cultural figures throughout the arts in the 19th and 20th century. Theosophy kind of is mentioned in biographies of them, and then it's dismissed. And there's no attempt to kind of understand what kind of influence, what the impact of that influence would be on individual artists.
And is that specifically what you will be doing with your research?
My research specifically looks a bit at that, and also at the cultural formations and institutional formations of theosophy and where music fits within them. So you have this movement, right? But you also have an institution which is propelling this movement, growing this movement, right? And my particular interest right now, in addition to Holst, is to look at how music is used by those institutions, both to reinforce and at times to challenge the power structures within the theosophical institutions. That makes sense.
Again, we've been speaking to USU Assistant Professor of Music Christopher Scheer, who is among a group of scholars who have received an international grant to conduct research on the arts in the late 19th and 20th centuries inspired by theosophy. For Utah Public Radio, I'm Brianna Bodily.